Amen. At the foot of the cross, there were those who were worshiping, and weeping, and there were some who were playing games. At the foot of the cross, there were four soldiers. It was a typical day for them. They had been sent on this detail. These three guys have to be crucified, get it done, get it over with, go home. The one in the middle, maybe more well off than the other two criminals, although really he didn't have anything much, but these soldiers, they deserve something for their labor. And he had some clothes. So they divided it all up. Four piles. There's the sandals, maybe his belt here. He's got his coat, his outer coat. Maybe there's some other parts of his clothing. They've got four piles now, and one of them's got some dice. How are we going to decide who gets what? So they're at the foot of the cross. They're throwing their dice. I got the sandals. All right, I needed some new shoes. I get the belt. Next guy. Oh, man. I lost out. I get whatever's left. And there's one piece remaining. It was the inner tunic. It was the robe that the condemned victim had worn on the inside. It was white. No one could typically see this as he wore it. And one guy said, well, let's just rip it into pieces. Okay, what are we going to do with it? I want a piece, you get a piece, you get a piece. We'll just tear it into pieces. One of the soldiers said, well, hold on a minute. Then all we'll have is a rag. Why don't we just gamble for it? I'm willing to put up my piece for yours. So they all agreed, and these four soldiers, now watch this, kneeling at the foot of the cross, oblivious to what was taking place that day. Never once looked up, evidently. Heads down at the foot of the cross, playing games over a robe. And one guy got it, the lucky one, I suppose. He came up lucky sevens, perhaps, and he walked away that day with the robe of Jesus, the robe of righteousness. And I wonder if he ever realized what he had, because really all he was doing was playing a game. Today we've gathered at the table of the Lord, and I will say it again, I have eagerly desired to eat this supper with you. Represents the body and the blood of Jesus as we partake of the elements. We're basically saying, I belong to him, Jesus in me, me and Jesus. I mean that's what we're saying, but I also want to point out that it's possible to play games. A lot of us, we really just come play games. Is it going to be a long service today? We're going to do the Lord's Supper. When are we going to get out? Or, you know, things are a little different today. I don't like what's going on here or that. We're just playing games. Today, I'd like for us just to lay all those games aside if it's possible. And I want to ask you about that robe. What if you got the robe? What if you were the one that that won it that day, would you know what you had? And let me ask it this way. Would you put it on? Or another way, what are you wearing today? Could we just pause for just a moment and look at what we're wearing? I've mentioned several people. I've shown this tie before, but this came from my daughter. She wanted her daddy to look good, and so this is a daughter tie. What are you wearing today? Look around. Some are dressed up. Some have got suits and ties on and dresses. Others of us, shorts perhaps, I don't know. What are you wearing? Do you know what you have on the outside, whether it's a daughter tie or whatnot, is completely and totally insignificant. The question that I would ask you today, are you wearing the robe of Jesus? Because when you come to the Lord's table, this isn't a time to play games. There's no game going on here. And you've got to be dressed correctly. You know, when I was a little boy, we would go to my grandmother's house, and in my grandmother's house, there was she had a breakfast table in her kitchen, and then she had a formal dining room, and that breakfast table was good for breakfast, and sometimes lunch, you know, a little sandwich or something, but breakfast, you could kind of come in your PJs or, you know, whatever, your bathrobe, whatever it was, and sit at the breakfast table and have breakfast and you know, so forth. But at dinner time for my grandma was a very, very formal time. And God help the grandson or granddaughter or whoever that showed up at the dinner table not properly dressed. She insisted, this is a time where the family gathers and the television's off, all the other distractions are off. We are a family now at the table, and you must be ready. It's a very formal thing. You must be prepared. You must be bathed. You must be clean. You must be wearing some good clothes at the dinner table. We're coming to the Lord's table today. This is a very formal occasion for us. And what I want to say to you is what my grandmother might say to me. Have you taken a bath? Let me look in your ears. And what are you wearing? There is a robe of righteousness that Jesus has prepared for you and me to wear. It's his robe, but he gives it to us. And today, what I want to talk to you about is, as we prepare ourselves for the table, and this is going to be the sermon, you and I sharing the table together, that'll be the sermon today. But I want to ask you that question, what are you wearing? And I want to talk about that robe, because it is something that is significant for each one of us. I don't care who you are, what you are, or what caused you to come in today. If you're not properly dressed, you shouldn't come to the table. And I'll explain that a little bit more here in just a minute. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, the Apostle John is privy to what's known as the wedding supper or the wedding feast of the Lamb. And in the 19th chapter there, John the Apostle sees all the saints of God gathered together. And they are celebrating something. In fact, listen to what it says down in verse 6 in Revelation 19. He said, "Then I heard something like the voice of a vast multitude." Now watch this. He hears first, this vast multitude. It turns out that this vast multitude is all the people of God, all the saints of God, all those throughout all the ages who have been saved, redeemed by the Lamb, all right? Which is you and me, if you know Jesus. And so he hears this vast multitude, like the sound of cascading waters, like the rumbling of loud thunder. So it's a very picturesque thing that he hears. And they're saying, "Hallelujah, because our Lord God, the Almighty, has begun to reign." Now watch what's happening. And this is actually the beginning, I think, of the millennial reign of Christ. But all the redeemed from all ages are gathered there now. And they're shouting, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." It's begun. It's happening now, and we're a part of it. And they say in verse 7, let us be glad, rejoice, and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has prepared herself. Now look at the imagery here. It's the imagery of a wedding celebration. There is a groom. Turns out the groom is the Lord Jesus. There is a bride. The bride is us, the church. And he says the bride has prepared herself. Verse 8, she was given fine linen to wear, bright and pure. For the fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints. And so at this wedding supper, there's the groom, Jesus. There is the bride, the church. And the bride is adorned radiantly. The bride, you and me, are wearing the wedding clothes, the fine linen raiment. It's white. It's shining white, which is a symbol of purity. It is this internal coat or robe of righteousness that is given to us in Christ Jesus. Now watch what's happening, beloved. Why are we here today? We are preparing now for then, okay? We are preparing here for there, all right? What's happening at the Lord's table is not just us sitting here and taking a little cracker and a little bit of juice. What we're doing is we are practicing or preparing for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Praise God, one day. And who knows, it might be today. Maybe that trumpet will sound. Here comes the Lord Jesus. We'll be caught up in the air, and there at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Today, we're preparing for that. On that day, we're going to show up in white raiment. Well, what about today? That's my question. As we prepare, as we get ready for then, now, what about the robe? What about the white raiment? I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah 61, if you would. And I want to give you one verse, and this one verse will kind of help us understand, I think, what's going on here. The 61st chapter of Isaiah is a messianic chapter. That is, it tells of the Messiah, of the Messiah's reign, what's going to happen when Messiah comes, okay? And in fact, this is where Jesus read. When Jesus, very early in his ministry, showed up in his hometown of Nazareth, and on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, and when he showed up at the synagogue, they said, hey, local son made good, why don't you come and read from the scripture and talk about it a little bit. And so Jesus sits down, he's given a scroll, it's the scroll of Isaiah, he unrolls it to Isaiah 61, and he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he goes on for those first couple of verses in Isaiah 61. It's a messianic psalm, or it's a messianic passage. That is, the Jewish people understood it was talking about the Messiah. And Jesus said, today, this passage has been fulfilled in your sight. In other words, Jesus was saying, hey, Messiah is with you. I'm the Messiah. Now, because he was a hometown boy, and because they had watched him grow up, he's the carpenter's son, he's Joseph's son, they actually rejected him that day. They ran him out of town. They wanted to kill him, but because they thought he was blaspheming, but they weren't able to do that. But anyway, they run him out of town, okay? So this is a messianic psalm because they understood exactly what Jesus was saying in his claim to be the Messiah. What the verse I want to look at here in this 61st chapter of Isaiah is down in verse 10, okay? Now watch what it says here. And this is the people of God. Now, based upon the fact that Messiah is coming, or the Messiah has come, and for us, the Messiah is Jesus, he has fulfilled all of these things. Now, the people of God say this, I greatly rejoice in the Lord. I exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. As a groom wears a turban and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Notice the wedding imagery again. And who is the bride? The bride is us, the people of God, who rejoice in the Messiah, in the one who has come to set all things right, to give himself for us. And he says he's clothed with a robe. I want to talk to you just very briefly about that robe. Because if you know Jesus, if you are a child of God, if you are ready to sit at the Lord's table, if you're ready to gather with us as a family, then you're wearing this robe. It's part of your salvation. I want you to see this. This is the robe of salvation. If you're not wearing it, you're not properly dressed. Okay? I just want to mention a couple of things that the text points out here about this robe. First of all, this robe, I want you to see, is the source of joy. It is the source of joy. Notice what they say there in the first part of that 10th verse. I greatly rejoice in the Lord. I exult in my God. Now watch what he's doing. He's talking about being clothed in salvation. Okay, so this robe of salvation he has put on, and it is the salvation from his sin. So he says, look, I've been saved. And it causes him to rejoice. It causes him to be filled with joy. And when you're filled with joy, that joy is going to come spilling out. And that's what it means to rejoice. If you got it on the inside, you can't keep it in. It just somehow, some way, it just spills out. Throughout Scripture, you're going to find that salvation, that is the work of God in our lives to forgive us of our sin and bring us into a right relationship with God, living in that or having that right relationship and living in that right relationship is a cause for joy and rejoicing. That word rejoice is used over 200 times in Scripture by the people of God as they thought about what God had done for them and what God was doing in their life. The word joy, again, is used over and over and over again to describe the people of God who possess the salvation of God or who have been saved by him. This is why the Apostle Paul says it this way in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because you've been saved. And when you've been saved, you're filled with the joy of God. And when you're filled with that joy, it comes spilling out. I want to give you another verse in Isaiah here that I ran across this past week. I don't know that I had ever really recognized or seen this verse before. It's back in chapter 12. And the 12th chapter of Isaiah is the shortest chapter in all of Isaiah. It's just a couple of verses long. And the first couple of verses I don't think I put up here, but verses 1 and 2 I wanted you to see. It says this, on that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away. And you have had compassion on me. Why is God angry with his people? Their sin, okay? It's the sin that causes the anger of God. So the prophet says, you were angry with me, but now you've had compassion on me. Verse 2, indeed, God is my salvation. See, so salvation has come, and you've taken my sin away. He says, I will trust him and not be afraid, for Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength. And my song, he has become my salvation. Now, it's this third verse I want you to see. Man, when I saw this I read it, I just began to weep with gratitude and joy to God. Look at what he says. He says, you, and he's speaking to us, you, God's people, the saved, you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Let that just soak in for just a second. It's like salvation is rolling like a river coming down here, overflowing its banks, right? Which we can appreciate these days. And he says, you joyfully draw. That is, you don't just get a little bit of it. You don't just have to worry, oh no, is there going to be? No. It's overflowing. I take it joyfully. The spring of salvation is flowing. And he allows me to draw water, and it causes joy in my life. Great joy. Beloved, the salvation of Jesus, forgiveness of sin, life in him, is a joyful thing. And I say that because something just breaks my heart. Too often, us Christians, we kind of mope through life with heads down, frowns on our faces. You know, I've said this before. If you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, why not every once in a while tell your face, you know? I just see people, I think, you know, If you were to smile or something, if joy were to come out, your face might crack. What's going on? Do you know the Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, against which there is no law. When you get saved, at the moment of salvation, the Spirit of God comes to live within you, and then the Spirit of God begins to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And what happens is, that's an internal thing, certainly, but what happens is sooner or later that comes spilling out, because what's on the inside comes spilling out. And if what comes spilling out of your life is not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, if what comes spilling out of your life is anger and malice and discord and strife and impatience and all those things, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. Salvation is a joyful thing. Sooner or later, that comes out. The prophet says, I rejoice in the Lord. I exalt in Him. He's done something in me I can't help but praise Him and rejoice. That's all I'm saying. If you're wearing the robe of righteousness, sooner or later, it's going to show on your face. It's going to come out as joy. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. Second thing I want you to notice, we're back in Isaiah 61 now. This robe is provided by God. So he says there, I rejoice in the Lord, I exalt in my God, for he, the Lord, has clothed me with a garment of salvation. Now watch this. He has clothed me. It doesn't say that I found a garment of salvation and I put it on. It doesn't say that he just provided a garment of salvation. It's kind of like a, you know, it's kind of like a small child. You know, we'd kind of forgotten this, but now with small grandchildren, we've learned you don't just send them in there and say, hey, put some clothes on, because they'll come out with all different kinds of things on, you know, and none of it'll match, and they won't be right, and it'll be inside out and backwards and all that other stuff. So BB's got to go in, you know, and all right, this is what we're going to put on. You get the right socks, and they match, and the bow in the hair, and all that other stuff, you know. And so for a child, you don't just send them in there to get whatever, you clothe them. This is what the prophet says that God has done for me. He took this robe and he put it on me. He clothed me in this garment of salvation. When you look at that, you ought to think of Adam and Eve, because remember, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, there's Adam and Eve, and they sin. They do what God said don't do. And all of a sudden they realize, man, we're naked. It wasn't a physical nakedness, actually it was a spiritual nakedness, but they didn't know how to deal with the spiritual side, so all they could do was try to clothe the physical stuff. And so they got some fig leaves, sewed them together, and now we're covered, except God shows up and he's not having any of that mess. Fig leaves don't work. What you have done looks bad, it doesn't match, it's not going to work. We're going to get rid of those fig leaves, what you have done, and we're going to put these coats of skin on you. Notice, God himself provided the coats of skin. Innocent blood had to be shed, and there's a whole nother sermon in that. I think I preached it not too long ago. But God himself was the one who had to do it. Beloved, salvation is completely and totally of God. It's what he does for you, because if you tried to do it yourself, you'd never get it right. He doesn't just say, hey, go figure it out and get yourself saved and then come wash yourself clean and get right for me and then I'll accept you. That's not what God says. He says, I'll take you exactly as you are. And now I'm going to reach in and I'm going to remove all that junk and garbage and all of that sin. I'm going to clean you up and I'm going to put this robe of righteousness on you, the robe of salvation. And this is why the Bible says, for example, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace I'm saved through faith, not of myself, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. I can't stand before God and say, hey, look at what I've done. Look at how good I am, or look at what I've done for you. Now you might say, well, hold on just a minute, Brother Greg. You showed us in Revelation 19 that those, that the uh, the linen garments that the saints are going to wear there around the at the marriage supper of the Lamb are the righteous acts of the saints. That's what it says. Or remember that verse, that eighth verse I read in Revelation 19. It says it's the righteous acts of the saints. And that's true. Here's the deal. None of us are righteous. And I'm talking about self-righteousness in and of ourselves. And our righteous acts ultimately aren't worth anything. Let me give you another verse in Isaiah. It's just a couple of pages over in Isaiah 64. The prophet says, he's talking about us sinners, and he says in verse 6, all of us have become like something unclean, and all our righteous acts are like a polluted garment. The word polluted garment there literally means toilet paper. In other words, he said that the best we can do is like toilet paper. So if all the stuff I do, all the good things that I do in and of myself, if I bring them and I hold them up to God and say, God, here's all my righteous acts. God says, hey, great, we'll take that, we'll put it in the bathroom, we'll use it for toilet paper, but that's not good enough for the wedding supper here. You understand? That's what's going on here. All of our righteous acts in and of ourselves are not good enough. It's what God does for us. It's his righteousness that he completes in us and works through us. So if we're going to be right with God, any of us, if we're going to be right with God, he's going to have to do it. He's the one that provides the robe of salvation. Now remember, we're talking about what we're wearing to the table today. We're coming to this very formal table. What are you wearing? And there's only one garment good enough. And what it's going to do is it's going to produce joy in your life. It should. It's provided by God. One final thing here. It is righteousness. It is righteousness. Look again at that 10th verse. It says, he has clothed me with a garment of salvation, or with garments of salvation, and wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. Now watch this. It is the robe, it is the salvation of God that produces the righteousness. Okay? Righteousness just means being right with God. It's rightness. Okay? It's just being in a right relationship with God. It means that all of my sin, all of the junk and the garbage of my life, everything that I produce that's just a filthy rag, God has taken away. He cleans me up. He clothes me. He gives it to me. The blood of Jesus cleanses me. The righteousness of Christ is my garment. It is what I wear. And now I'm clean and I'm righteous and I'm ready to be used by him, to serve him, to worship him. And this is why I rejoice in my salvation. In the fourth chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul writes this. He said, how joyful are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. How joyful is the man the Lord will never charge with sin. Man, I like that. How joyful is the one the Lord will never charge with sin. It's not that I'm not a sinner, and it's not that I'm perfect, and it's not that I'm better than anybody else, but I stand before God clean and right because of what Jesus did for me. He took all this stuff away, and he clothes me with this garment of salvation, this robe of righteousness. And beloved, this is why I'm different. And if you're wearing the robe of righteousness, this is why you're different. This is why you don't look like everybody else. You don't act like everybody else. People look at you and say, man, what is the matter with you? You don't act the same way everybody acts. You don't respond the same way when everything falls apart like everybody else does. I mean, you've got all this stuff going on, and you still, you know, you still exhibit grace and mercy and all those things. Something is different about you. Beloved, it's the righteousness of Christ in you that makes you different. This is what he does in your life as he transforms your life. And it's not that you or me or anybody else are better than anybody else. Just saved. Forgiven. Filled with life. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is what it means to be a child of God. It's what Christ does in you, to you, for you, through you. I mean, it's all about him, Jesus, as he transforms a sinner into a saint. And this is what we celebrate as we come to the table. And I would just ask you today, what are you wearing? You know, that song, when he shall come with trumpet sound, here's the prayer. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What are you wearing today? In the 11th chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul, writing about the Lord's Supper, says, therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. Now, how in the world can you eat? How can you do this in an unworthy manner? Well, if you're not dressed right, if you're not wearing the robe, then you're making a mockery of the wedding supper of the Lamb. You're making a mockery of what Jesus has done, if it's not true for you. So he goes on to say in verse 28 there of 1 Corinthians 11, so a man should examine himself. And in this way he should eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So we're coming to the Lord's table. And what the Lord says is, let's check our clothing, because you can't come to this table unless you're dressed right, okay? You're not just going to come here and set in your underwear, all right? That's not going to work. Not in the bathrobe. That's not happening here. You've got to have the robe. You got to be wearing the robe. And so this morning I just ask you the question: what are you wearing today? Now, if you're wearing that robe of righteousness, man, we're going to rejoice in the Lord, as we already have in some ways here. Maybe your feet are dirty, and when I give this invitation in a minute, maybe there's some things you need to confess for the Lord just to get cleaned up and just to get right as we testify to the body and blood of Jesus here in just a minute. But if you're sitting here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, you know. I mean, nobody has to tell you. Maybe you've played the game. You've been down there at the foot of the cross throwing the dice. You've got the robe, but you've never really considered what was happening on that cross. You've never given your life to Jesus. Right now, I'm going to ask you to give your heart to him, to let him put the robe on you. The robe of salvation, the robe of righteousness. If you're not wearing it, you're not ready for the table. But today, he's ready to put it on you if you'll receive it. Father, let us stand here not dressed in our righteousness, but in yours, not in what we have done, but in what you have done. I ask you today, Lord, that you would strip away all the mess and everything else that we bring here to this place, and God, that you would clothe us in your righteousness. Some of us today, Lord, need to just get our lives right. It's not that we're lost. It's not that we haven't trusted you. We just have got our feet dirty, and there's some things we just need to confess as you cleanse us. For others of us, Lord, we need the robe. And God, I pray today would be the day of salvation, as hearts and lives are changed and transformed, as you speak and as your word, Lord, bears fruit in our lives. In the name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen.